Rightio, so we have just finished watching Avatar: The Way of Water. 13 years since we had last been to Pandora. And I am beyond speechless. I consider it an unparalleled triumph, which we'll talk about later. And Ray, how did you feel about it?
Oh, man. We have to first start off with the creative imagination, just the scope of the visual effects and the world building. I was absolutely blown away. Like it just feels like a magical nature documentary. I was just so impressed by the quality of the visuals.
When Paya Khan beckons him into his mouth,
yes.
And there's a moment, and then he goes in, and there's that, like, the whole inside of the mouth lights up,
yes.
And he's inviting him to connect directly with his cerebellum, like with his memories.
Yes. I mean, there were so many incredible scenes. I was a huge fan of the bioluminescent effects back in 2009.
Yeah.
So it was just incredible for them to use it in so many different ways. And also for it to be a way of telling the story as well. Like, you know, the girl, the one who's an intuitive, the one who's Sigourney Weaver's daughter.
You know,
like the light following her. Yeah. So
the planet responding her. Her being almost like a hyper empath.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, what's so interesting is that in the first movie, we hear that Ewa doesn't take sides. But in this one, she is able to direct energy and move it around. And so that was really special. I obviously the visual effects was so stunning, but they used the aesthetics to also tell stories about the character, which I really liked.
Yeah.
So in terms of the light following her and her being able to move things around and shifting energy, that was really cool.
I think the levels to which it was pretty brutal was very, very striking.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to take a quick little sidebar for your eye makeup tonight.
Ah.
I'm staring right at it. And we have to make sure to take a photo. I'll take a photo later.
Okay.
It is Pandora worthy. It's beautiful.
Just because, you know, I don't wear eye looks like this normally every day. Where am I going to wear stuff like this?
But yeah. You blended it really well.
Thank you. I was just so excited about, just seeing those colors again, you know? So that's just a little homage on my eyes.
You'll see in some of the social share things that we're going to, posting in the next few days. But
what did you think?
Beyond, like I said, it's beyond is such an insufficient word. Beauty words are just insufficient.
Yeah.
Because as we talked about, and it's cool, like you can probably gauge it, listeners, viewers, on this, that we had our own separate experiences of it.
Yeah.
For me, it's a 10, and you be unfettered, be honest.
For me, the visual effects were like an easy 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. But overall,
I think everything else considered, overall, I know it's just because of the things that I value.
That's
while
okay.
Watching a film, like, you know me, like among my favorite films is like Groundhog Day. And
different opinions can coexist.
So I really focus a lot on script and editing.
Yeah.
And certain kind of psychological complexity mm-hmm. in characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even in the first one, it wasn't particularly deep.
Yeah.
But it was a story that I knew well, and call it Pocahontas or Dances with Wolves, or I didn't look for that narrative originality because the visuals were absolutely new. Like I had seen nothing like it ever before in my life.
Yeah.
And so, they told the story really beautifully. I thought it was edited very well. There is not one wasted scene in the first Avatar film. Some parts of it are quite silent and introspective, you know, some of the complexity of Jake and Neytiri's relationship is explored in the push-pull, you know, and the tension there and the energy there. The sort of unfolding friendship between Sigourney and Sam's character, Jake's character, also unfolds. So I like characters interacting with one another in a way that is meaningful.
I could sense that while we were watching it, because energy is a thing,
Yeah.
I could sense, thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice. I hope the listeners can tell.
That's
where.
Cool. Ordering.
Dinner.
Yeah, totally. Spider. When I could feel. Yeah, he's very earnest, but when he was on screen, I sensed something from you in terms of, like, did you feel? Because I loved him. And he is, I mean, he's the true outcast. Like,
yeah.
You know.
I found his character very interesting. And again, it's like, if you look at sort of colonial stories, you know, the person who is not quite at home, or even the story of diaspora or migration,
the
right?
Children, like, of the invaders.
Yeah. Which is like, I understand that archetype, and I think the potential of that archetype is pretty great.
Going forward, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of, and also just to see a character shift, you know, that push-pull, I find that really, really interesting.
Absolutely, so, thank you so much.
Excellent, thank you again.
When he said that, he was surprised that he was still on Pandora, because clearly Quaritch had basically either just conceived that kid with his mother, you know, presumably a Hispanic, I guess, because Socorro is a surname, Spanish surname. The little micro acting there was very interesting to me.
And also, like, you know, obviously lots of like metaphors about sons and fathers,
rescuing one another.
Yes, and you know, and literally the scene of like the son bearing the sins of the father. Mm-hmm. You know, like Jake's son pulling him up and Quaritch's son pulling him up. And so, looking at the responsibility that the sons took, and even though, like, Spider wanted nothing to do with his father, he still felt, is that a thing of blood, or is that a thing of, like, loyalty? Like, you know, so I found that quite interesting.
Yeah. And as soon as he pulled him up, made sure he was breathing, then he abandoned him.
Yeah.
And it's funny, in the last film, there's a line from Quaritch. It's like, nothing's over while I'm still breathing.
Yeah.
And in this one, his son inverts that. It's like, nothing's over until my dad is breathing. Right? And then he's good to just completely hiss at him and then leave. So much hissing in this movie.
Yeah. And also, it's like, you can tell he didn't actively want him to die. But it's an interesting kind of ethical dilemma, right? Yeah. Which is, by allowing him to live, obviously it's a hard decision for him to make, like, the conflict persists, right? So yeah, that sort of shift, and but it was so poetic at the end, a son for a son, where Jake is actually hugging Spider, and still feeling like, even though he's you know, in quotation marks, out an outcast, him still feeling like he's got that son back.
When I see this film and I see Nateam, I'm just going to have feels, because he was such a good brother. Like, he was. Always caring after Lo'ak, and always aware of the golden child thing, of being the firstborn, and Lo'ak feeling like that, again, that second child-ism. And when Jake is kind of out of it, he thinks he sees Nateam, and he says his name.
And again, that's quite poetic, right? Because it's his middle child who saves him, but he actually thinks it's his firstborn who has died.
I think it's because he's died. And I think, frankly, it's because he was about to die. Because I think he saw a shape, and he thought, I'm dead, and this must be my son. This must be Nateam. I'm dead.
Yeah.
And I think he was excited to see him.
Yeah.
But, and so I'm glad that Lo'ak didn't take that personally, as in, oh, you thought that I was your other son. And by the end, when Lo'ak saves him, there's just such a bonding, such a kindred thing. And I don't think Nateam was sacrificed cheaply for narrative depth or heaviness.
God. The best scene of the film was the end.
Yeah. And yeah, I could see this with you as well. I think there was some
tears at that point, because again, just the coming full circle and connecting it back to what water is, what life is, the giving and receiving of life, the full circle nature of life and death. I was absolutely blown away, like, by the last scene. I had hoped, again, see, it was solemn, it was silent, it was meditative, it was reflective. It reminded me of the things that I like most about Pandora. Like, you remember, like, you know, the Ewa scene and the scenes about healing.
Pulse.
Those were among my favorite scenes. And, like, Neytiri and Jake falling in love. Like, so that's why it's, like, I was so blown away by the last scene. And I think I was left just a bit wanting. Because it is so powerful.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. And we have three more films to continue the story. I'm so glad. And Cameron has said on record, Quaritch, it's the guy. That's his shadow through the saga.
Yeah.
And I'm so intrigued by that. But back to some of these dynamics where characters kind of stand out. I mean, for me, I want to talk about... actually, you first.
And that's what, like, again, I'll just give you an example. Like, Edie Falco is one of my favorite
interesting,
actors.
Yeah.
Do I think she was best utilized in this film?
Oh, no. She really blended into the background.
Yeah. You remember her in some of the best episodes of The Sopranos. Like, this woman can act. Like, she's astonishing.
I would have liked one... I mean, again, 10 out of 10 for me. But I would have loved a scene of her... Again, we intuited some of this in our sort of pre-analysis about the Dark Mother.
Oh, yeah. And where we see her ideology.
Yeah.
Again, it was fantastic to see Neytiri shift after her son died.
She became divine feralness.
Yeah. That sort of dark goddess and ready to slit the throat and take out the heart of another man's son, right?
And retribution
for her own son's death. So that was fantastic. I mean, again, heartbreaking. But it was really good to see that other part of her.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of like what I look for in films, and because of that reason. And like, say for example, the character of Kate Winslet, right?
Yeah.
Man, she's one of the best actresses out there.
What do you think of her now?
Right? Again, the fact that she's a sahik, she's quite feisty. Again, amazing. But still quite just an archetype, you know, like but then in the first Avatar, the Sahik was Neytiri's mother, right? And then there was, you could see that she had more lines. There was, we understood her philosophy, and she would explain things when Ewa didn't take sides.
I did want to see more of that. I loved how she brought Kiri to life with her sort of, was it sin eating? That's a, like you, she was breathing it, sucking out the evil, and blowing it out.
Yeah, some kind of energetic thing,
which I found very distinct. But yeah,
once you know
again,
me, it's like I love words, I love language. But in the first one, the Sahik, you could see her philosophy, and you could learn about that world through what she was saying. I didn't feel it as much on this one. Not saying that it has to be the same, but I wanted to know more about what made her who she is.
It's interesting, this film is 3 hours long, but I would have loved for it to have been like another hour long, seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? I wanted it to be an hour shorter.
No, for another hour long, because I would have loved to have a Tonawari scene, a Tonawari and Aonung scene.
Oh,
I would have loved to have had a Sireya and Ronal scene, you know, Kate Winslet and her daughter, you know? So then a scene, obviously, I mean, I did like the scene with Miles and Quaritch, you know, Spider and Quaritch, where he's like, I know you won't betray your father, but let's just ride this out. And when he was trying to teach his father how to say, well, natty kame, I'm saying it. Like, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Many quotes.
Yeah.
There's lots to like, lots to celebrate.
Yeah.
Paya Khan, all I want to say, he's my MVP.
Who?
When he was, you know, because we were watching 24, we're used to people on phones making threats, you know?
Mm.
And when he's saying that, he's like, I will not hesitate to kill, you know? Paya Khan, meanwhile, is getting all riled up underneath the boat, and he sees that his bros under...
That was insane.
It's so good. And leaps and totally... fucks
MVP
them up.
Is that account. incredible sacred animal.
Yeah. And wrecks shop, and then when a torpedo gets thrown at him, he headbutts it with his head ridge.
Yeah, astounding. The choreography they did there. Yeah.
And then rescues them. I love Paya Khan. And he, the actual genuinely misunderstood, you know? And he's being blamed for these things he didn't do.
Yeah. And also showing just how intelligent and emotional they are.
Yeah, that was rough.
Man, seeing that, again, our equivalent is the whaling scene, right? It was absolutely heartbreaking. Just the things that humans will do to the natural world for dominance.
To shut off that empathy, to like kill this smarter animal and then go into its brain and and like these things
for,
that are...
For like aging.
What?
And yet it's like, you know, what gives life meaning is that we die, right? And so the fact that, you know, you're stopping the aging process, it also antithetical to what life is. And again, it comes full circle in the final scene, which is like, it's the way of life. It's the way of water,
So, so many moments for me. I loved as they're escaping. And it is, you know, Tuk-Tirun actually said, it's like, I can't believe they captured me again, you know?
Yeah.
because it was like the ultimate high stakes, like constant action. And, you know, when Quaritch like randomly plucks Kiri out of the water with his banshee, the fact that he dived underwater with his banshee, like, just as I mentioned as we sat down, like my inner 12 year old is like losing it right now. The kid who grew up with like the Star Wars VHS's is just dying right now. So good. But I'm glad that each of us had our truths about it, right?
I think that's it's important. And I also think, because like, you know, for me, that the first Avatar movies are 10 out of 10. I still stand by that. Again,
On another watch, you're going to give this one an 8. I genuinely think so.
But even when I watched the first Avatar movie, I was just like, this is an extraordinary film.
I think it's just so much to take in. I mean, so the plan is...
But yeah, I think, again, it's interesting because the first time I saw the Avatar, I had never seen anything like it before. This time around, I was a little bit familiar with the visuals, but then it took it to whole new heights, which was very impressive.
Yeah.
So I guess what I was looking out more for are the characters and the stories. And it'll be interesting, you know, like Jake is still very much like a military father.
Yeah. And
he's quite loving, and then how that has an impact on his family. So I can see, like, you know, but I just don't like, because it was 3 hours long.
Yeah.
I don't like wasted storytelling and
subjective
character development.
Subjective.
You know? So yeah, again, I totally
subjective.
Get that, you know, you would have liked the movie to be an hour longer. I actually would have cut it. Because there are some parts which were like a nature documentary where we were just exploring the world, and it even felt like an interactive experience.
I loved Kiri's quiet moments.
Yeah.
Like she's, and they made fun of her. She's like, she's just looking at the sand and just enjoying that quiet, you know?
Yeah, no, and
I think Kiri's your favorite character, right? Who's your favorite character in this film? Probably
the Tokun.
Yeah, it's Payakan. Yeah.
The anti-hero, really.
Yeah, he's so dark.
I love an anti-hero.
Me too, yeah, yeah.
See, we'll just gravitate towards the character that's a bit complex.
What do you think of the way of the Tulkun, which is absolutely non-violence? And as that, you know, really cocky whaler guys, like, they never fight back, never, you know? And Payakan's like, fuck no. And he corralled all of the young bulls to try and fight back, and they died because of that. But his spirit was like to kind of go against that tradition. And Jake is also a guy who in the first film went against tradition, you know, getting the Toruk, you know, all of that stuff. So Payakan has that spirit of Jake.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting because Jake's second son is a lot more like Jake.
Yeah.
Because he's the sort of anti-establishment.
Yeah,
he's the one sort of going against his orders, you know. The first child who was righteous and he followed very much in his father's footsteps.
Yeah.
But the second one's actually more like Jake.
Yeah.
Because Jake is a bit of a rule breaker, you know? He's a bit of a rebel. So, again, I think there's a beauty to, again, that second son being curious and open to understand what happened with the Tokun. And that the Tokun recognized a part of his soul in him, which is why he revealed that. It's extremely vulnerable that to connect that you actually to go inside the mouth of this incredible
so much trust.
Right? Again, the visuals of that scene were outstanding. I can't, like, my words fail in terms of the praise when it comes to the visual effects and what they accomplish. Like I was telling you, at one point I felt seasick because of the motions that were going on screen. So, really, really cool.
Would you rather have a Tulkun spirit sister come and visit you once a year?
Yeah.
Or like an owl to drop you off some owl post? I mean, for me, give me that 300,000 kilogram tattooed cetacean,
tattooing those animals, I just thought was such a beautiful touch.
They have an actual, traditional cultural connection, which is that when the tulkun is born, the tulkun go to them to get tattooed. And those markings mean something in their culture, which will help, for example, I'm assuming it's for the young tulkun to get a mate or whatever, they'll go to the tulkun that's been tattooed because of the rite of passage and how it's reached this many years or whatever.
Yeah.
So to have them so interwoven that the life cycle of the tulkun is dependent on, that stuff we're gonna find out in the books and stuff. But I loved Sireya going up to her sister and being like, hey, I met a boy, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, many more things to be said.
I'm also very curious about Sigourney Weaver's daughter and the stories there, the origins of her parents.
Who's the father?
Yes.
Still a mystery.
Yes, I don't know if they took that from Star Wars, and hopefully they'll make it a lot better.
Yeah.
Because, Rey's parenting went nowhere, the storyline there.
Jake.
So it'll be very interesting. It's where does she get this gift, and what is her role, in this story and this myth?
I believe, and because, as our friend Garrett, who showed up twice in the credits, second unit director, I hadn't taken my phone out fast enough, so I only got him when he appeared again as the stunt coordinator, but next time I'll take a photo of him as second unit. He said, look, this is a story that evokes biblicalness and these big stories from scripture and stuff. So all I'm saying is I believe that Kiri's actually Awa's child, and it was
a virgin
birth.
Ah, interesting.
That she just found a womb.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was an anomaly. They're like, wait a minute, this is the avatar of grace.
Sigourney Weaver's Virgin Mary.
Yeah, Virgin Mary. That's
ah,
right.
Fascinating. Okay.
And she has this connotation from aliens. Yes. As well, of mother,
Yes.
And for her, I think being drawn to that role of wait a minute, so Awa, which we loved about the first film, kind of, Awa has heard you sort of thing, the planet responded. I think Awa said, look, the sky people are going to come back and I need someone to be my avatar. And that was my theory, was that Kiri is the avatar of Awa.
Man, if that's true, that would be astonishing.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said,
you saw her manipulating those fronds and stuff that could, she plugged herself into some coral reef.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like she was just enacting Awa's will,
yep.
If you will.
Yeah.
Exciting possibilities, yes. There, if that is indeed what happens.
Avatar: The Tulkun Rider, coming out 2024. I mean, that's the speculative next title. You heard Jake say that he's going to make his stand,
yes.
But. John Landau said that we're going to be going to a different biome,
yeah.
With each new film.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit contrasting with him saying, we are reef people now making our stand, but I'm assuming that it's going to be a cumulative thing, like a snowball. Like every new film, it won't be leaving one culture behind, it'll be taking them all along with them.
Yeah, so, and still be Taru Plateau.
Yeah.
But except for that clan, yeah. In Pandora.
And that's the sign that we're...
He's going to unite them all.
Exactly.
All
and
the elements.
Indeed.
Water, earth, air, fire.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, that was, episode 34 of the Avatar Podcast. We will speak again very soon. Have a great rest of your night. Bye.